Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk. Before we begin, as always, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land where we broadcast from and pay respects to elders past and present. Thank you for your company. Well, live in the studio this morning, it's a real pleasure and thrill to have Auntie Jackie Huggins with us. Good morning, Aunt.
Good morning, Dan, and all the listeners.
We always continue with mob and country as well. Can we get to know you, Auntie Jackie?
Yes, I am a Birigubba Juru woman on my father's side and a Bidjara out at Springshaw, Carnarvon Gorge Way on my mother's. And, of course, you know, with the history, then she was sent to Cherbourg in the 1920s, back of a cattle truck. And that was the history. And, you know, so I've got a lot of mob in Cherbourg as well.
Real nice to have you in the studio. Only last week, week before last, we were speaking on the phone about a number of things, including, you know, the path to the treaties that we've been discussing. And we did touch on what might happen when the Queen passed. And she has since passed. And here we are with you know, a new leader in the monarchy, I suppose, the head of the crown, which is therefore the, you know, the head of the state here in Australia, which is quite strange to think we've got someone in charge that we didn't vote for or have no say over. It baffles the mind a little bit, Aunt. Your initial thoughts on what we discussed last week, and here we are now.
Yes, it was all very timely, I guess, in a sense, Dan, because we didn't realise this would happen. We knew it would be, you know, inevitable that people pass, but so quickly, I think, you know, people were in shock. You know, as we know, a lot of our older mob, monarchists, and my mother was a staunch monarchist. I grew in that household of her.
Can I ask why is that?
Yeah. Maybe. Look, I've tried to think about that myself in terms of why they did. They kind of just honoured hierarchy and, you know, people who were making the decisions, I suppose. Not that, you know, we do that today, but people of my mother's generation, aunties and uncles, they were all, you know, adoring of the monarchy and the especially the Queen. And my dear old mum used to say, well, she never asked to be born into royalty, you know, when I was kind of criticising her back in the days too. But it's a strange phenomenon. I mean, even I know that Uncle Neville Bonner was staunch in terms of his love for the monarchy. And just all my mother's brothers and sisters and friends, you know, they all very much in awe of them, and you know, especially, you know, that was Diana when she passed.
She actually did a lot for marginalised people, which I can't really say the same for the rest of the family. I mean, while the Queen wasn't you know, herself doing the atrocity she was complicit in not changing things around, whether it was outward racism from her husband, who was a notorious racist, it was the raping and pillaging and taking over of the 180 odd countries that they did in their reign. So while it, you know, I find that really strange to get my head around that black people have this affinity with these people who did horrendous and horrible things to our mob.
Yeah, and it wasn't only here in Australia. You look at those Pacific nations who were, you know, Commonwealth countries as well. I mean, they just adored the visits of the King and Queen when they came there. And I think Prince Philip was made an honorary something in one of those islands.
Yes, an honorary, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so really hard to fathom now. And, you know, with young generation and new mob growing up now, you know, I've seen her all my life. I've seen them all my life, you know, 70 years reign. And now we've got King Charles. Well, I view him as a caretaker king.
Mm.
Because who knows? I mean, they live long lives. The Queen certainly did, and so did
Queen Mother.
Yeah. So you know, we might have another maybe 20 years of this, but you know, we've got Prince William there waiting in the wings, and let's hope that he can do a better job than. Unfortunately, you know, what his grandma did in terms of really nothing for our people and, you know, breaking through all that colonialism, it's a hard act, I know, but we'll see how King Charles goes, eh?
King Charles Cavalier.
Yes.
I did pose this question to Monarchists and those who are sympathetic with the royals. I mean, what has she actually done for this country or any other country lately? Has she done anything?
No, look, I don't believe so. And I said that the other night, that she had probably great opportunities, you know, for our people in terms of, you know, the vote and in terms of handing back land, a whole range of things. But unfortunately, she didn't step outside her royal institution, which, you know, really effectively colonised our people and gave us a very brutal history in our country.
Yeah.
Mm.
What was the purpose of the Commonwealth, I suppose, and what was the purpose of the royal family occupying all of these countries and displacing all of these people, and why was it allowed to happen?
Yes, to flourish. I mean, you know.
Well, the riches that go with it.
Exactly, know? Yeah. And the UN's never stepped in, really, in any shape or form either. Yeah. It's a bit of a toothless tiger in that sense. But, yeah, hopefully in becoming a republic now, it might take away all those colonial shackles of the past. Let's hope so.
Albanese's come out and said he won't be entertaining that for now, which is kind of, I guess you'd have to say he's going both ways here when he's, you know, entertaining the voice and treaties, but yet won't entertain the Republican discussion.
No, or the change of date,
He can add a date.
He can. I find that disappointing,
he's
really.
He's added a date.
Yeah, of the date. I find that very disappointing from this federal government. But, yeah, just in terms of getting the voice up and getting a referendum through, I don't think he wanted to run them too close to each other. And they've got to get another term, you know, in government. So they're all out to get the referendum for the voice now.
Too soon, do you think, for Albanese to sort of say something like that? You know, second term, perhaps we could be looking to push that agenda.
Yeah, well, he's promised a referendum for the voice in this term of government.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen that second, but I really can't see them being beaten. But anything happens, you know, and he might look at it then. But this is the first time, I think, that, First Peoples have been prioritised over the Queen, over the other referendum that we might have for this country. So that in itself is a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they all sort of fit together, though, don't they, really? One without the other is kind of not as meaningful as if it all comes together.
Yeah, that's true. I think, it would be so easy and just about time that, you know, we received true justice in our country. But, you know, I can say over my years of hostile governments, you know, I had John Howard on my watch as Councillor for Aboriginal Reconciliation, so that was the toughest gig.
Yeah, I can imagine,
And trying to get him to say sorry to our mob. And, yeah, bad old days.
You're listening to Let's Talk on Triple M Murray Country. Auntie Jackie Huggins is live in the studio with us today. And what did you think of the call to add a public day of mourning on the 22nd for the passing of the Queen?
Oh, look, I don't know that was necessary, but, you know, people are saying, oh, that's great, it's one more day of holiday, you know, I won't be doing anything except, you know, my daily work that I need to do in terms of, you know, emails and writing and doing other things, but I don't know that was necessary, really, you know. Okay, and then we'll get the Queen's birthday as well, so it's kind of like a double whammy, isn't it?
Yeah, and then the King's, I think we get the King's now birthday?
We do. Oh, gee, yes, that would be right. Yeah, it's got all change.
Well, it's good to see he can add dates. It'd be nice if he can remove dates as well, like our day of mourning, which is, of course, Invasion Day. Do we see that happening anytime soon?
No, I don't think we'll see that, which is really disappointing. I've been saying, publicly now, I've been doing interviews around changing the date, and, of course, I would really love to see the change of the date, because while it's fixed on the 26th of January, we will always be locked into that and imprisoned, I reckon. So he needs to do a bit of a mind shift and get that away. That's why I thought, pretty disappointing, but not surprising. He didn't want to change the date of Australia Day or, you know, Invasion Day.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We've also been mourning the loss of a remarkable elder in this country, and a man that I was lucky enough to meet on a number of occasions, and I'm sure you have as well, Aunt. And just the energy, the warmth and the emotions you had when speaking to Uncle Jack Charles was one that I'll never forget. Can you recall your feelings and thoughts on Uncle Jack and the passing?
Oh, it was like, you know, and I think we've all said this, that, you know, one of our kings had died too, but will he get the attention that he deserves over the monarchy? And I don't think that's possible, Dan. I have to tell you a little story. I met him in a Victorian country town, and I can't even remember what it was, but it was very cold that time, and we were all sitting at the, you know, having dinner at the hotel we're at, and then he walked with his amazing, beautiful grey hair, and he came in with this white lady who was driving him around, I think, and he sat down. Oh, yeah, you're very personable, you're very loving, and he goes, oh, yeah, where are you from? And I told him, you know, and next minute he never come up for breath of air until 2 hours later, you know, and I thought, oh, I'm tired now, I need to go to bed. What an amazing man. He's just so humble, so loving, caring, extreme, you know. Just one of those old fellas, you know, when they break the mould, when they leave us, he was one of them.
Yeah, he'll leave an impression on everybody he touched, that's for sure. You go.
Yeah, and I didn't realise, I did realise he could sing, of course. Oh, he was a great singer, but just now we played him and Archie's singing together, and very deep and rich, and they were both as good at as each other, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Well, you teased it. We're going to have to play that song at the end of this yarn today,
Archie, please.
And of course Uncle Jack, you know, singing that beautiful song. Mm. I had a similar experience with Uncle Jack. The first time I met him was here in Brisbane for the Writers Festival, and I was facilitating a yarn with Uncle Jack, and I had this, you know, this great script, and all these questions I wanted to ask him, and I barely got through the intro, and he just went. He went for it, but he had the, you know, the audience captivated, and about you know, an hour through it, he flipped around and he said, "Gee, I'm sorry, son, you haven't got a word in sideways." And I said, "That's all right, Unc. They're not here to hear me. They're here for you."
Yeah.
One of the easiest panels I've ever had to facilitate, but he was.
And he probably answered all your questions.
He did,
didn't he?
He did. Didn't have to do much at all, and it was one of the highlights of my working career. That, and you know, since getting to know Uncle over the years, it's been a real pleasure. He'll be a real great loss, and it was interesting to see people discussing who should replace the Queen on the $5 bill. Uncle Archie was mentioned. Uncle Jack was mentioned. How good would that be to see another one of our elders alongside Inayapon on a currency here? Makes sense, eh?
Oh, it does make sense. And how forward-thinking would that be, you know? I'm always proud to see David Inayapon on that $50 bill. Sometimes I just don't want to give it away, you know. Yeah. But, it's about time. And I think that's going to happen, Dan. You know, it may not be this year, 5 years, maybe 10 years. You know, I think the hopefully the change is going to come, and people will recognise, you know, it's the right thing to do. But there's got to be greater things, I think, for Archie and Uncle Jack to come yet. I don't think we've, you know, fully realised it yet, but. Whether it be a monument even, you know, yes. that would be lovely to both of them. That would be wonderful. I'm sure, I think both of them got books out now,
yep.
Haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully for them their book sales may go up and people
album
will
sales.
Yep. Help the sales and help them understand what magnificent men they were and what a privilege. You know, it was for us to meet them as well and sit down and have those yarns.
Mm. Mm. Isn't it funny that, not funny I say, but isn't it quite peculiar that statues and monuments are built for people of unsavoury character, yet people like Uncle Jack, Uncle Archie, and, you know, imagine the plaque that would sit underneath a statue of one of them.
Yeah, you know, it would be just... fantastic to see, and you know, you've probably seen the one down here of the Aboriginal servicemen and women at the Anzac Square.
Yeah.
You know,
it's beautiful.
It is so beautiful. You know, something like that to recognise the service that they've done, and particularly those two to not only the music industry or the acting industry, but it was a whole range of that whole nation building and what they were trying to get through in terms of, you know, their own reconciliation perspective to it, because they were trying to reach out and get the public to understand through their art, you know, all the kind of messages that we can only do sometimes through the arts, you know, rather than getting up there doing speeches and making points. So I'll bless them. I hope their, you know, journey to the ancestors is just about complete now.
Honey, Jackie, anything final before we wrap? Any final thoughts?
I would hope that the recognition of these two gentlemen will receive the accolades that they deserve, because they were truly magnificent people in our time, and their legacy will live on and on.
Well, sadly, it's been lacking from mainstream media. It's been rolling coverage of the Queen for non-stop. But, you know, you're right. Imagine the stories that these mob could get out on their news channels if they took the time and were willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thanks, Aunty Jackie Huggins.
Thank you very much, Dan.
You've been listening to Let's Talk here on AAA Murray Country, and we're going to go out with that live rendition of We Won't Cry, Uncle Archie Roach and Uncle Jack Charles.
If your burden's too heavy, it's gonna break you, and you might go crashing to the ground. Just keep yourself steady and don't let it take you on down, take you on down.
Wait. I'm here beside you, Archie. Don't you forget it. I'm with you walking down this road. Give up what's inside you. You won't regret it. Together we can lighten this load.
Oh, we won't cry. At a sight, and you wouldn't let me. You were so stubborn. You brought me out of that dark night. And no, we won't cry.
Spirits high up to the sky.